All right. For those of you that are just joining us, we covered something last week. We've been going through creation and really establishing a firm foundation for our faith. And we got to the point we've created man, not we, God did, created man, but we're trying to understand man a little bit more. And a fella showed me this several years back. I'd been a pastor for 6 years and really had never been able to put it all together. And when he showed me some of this, it was a different style. I developed this little fat man that would help me understand it more and be able to put it in perspective. And we covered this last week, and it's very enlightening. God created man in his image, in his own image. So what happened? Well, man fell into sin, obviously. We all know that. But why does man do what he does? Why do you do what you do? Why do I do what I do? This will help you in counseling, whether it's family members, friends, coworkers. You'll understand why they're shooting up schools. You'll understand why they're acting like they do. You'll understand why the politicians are the way they are. All of this comes back to this, and it'll help you understand. Well, so when we're first created, when we're born, Adam was born without sin, but he chose to sin against God. And at that point, he became lost. A lost man from that point on has been born, every one of them is born lost. And because of that, self is the center of his life. It's the center of his thinking, his focus, everything. Self is the center. Now, once he gets saved, Christ dethrones self, and self is put off the throne, and Christ is established on the throne of our lives. That's why everything changes once we're saved. But then, when a saved man sins, then what happens? He dethrones Christ. Now he's not the focus in the center of his world. And self is back on that throne. Self is now again the center of our life. Okay? Now, you'll understand why I'm saying all this as we go along. Self is ruling our life. So remember, either Christ is on the throne or self is on the throne. It's deep theological stuff, right? It's very simple. Now, God made us in the image of man. He made us in a body and a soul and a spirit. That's why I made my little fat man the way I did. A body, a soul, and a spirit. And we'll look at all of these. You have world consciousness through the body. A man becomes world conscious. Through the soul, a man can become Christ conscious. And then through the spirit, man becomes God conscious. All right? Now, let's just look at each one individually. This will be better for us old folks because I readjusted all my notes and everything from last week, so this might be able to help you see it. When we're looking at the body, we can become world conscious, okay? We have sight, smell, hearing, touch, taste. All of these things make us conscious of the world. I feel this thing is solid. I can see that it's brown. All of these things. We become world conscious, that five sense. Now, man can know about the world through his senses, but man cannot know God through the body. And this transcendental meditation and all this kind of stuff, they try to know God through the body, through your veganism and stuff like that. They're trying to get to know God through it. It can't happen. Will not happen. Now, letter C. And you can be writing these things in your notes. That's why I gave you that. If you got your colors, you can bring them out too. You know, nobody will throw rocks. Man is designed to live for eternity. Now, understand this. We're talking way back in creation. Man is designed to live for eternity, to live forever. That's why the body heals itself. You cut yourself, you may not go to the doctor, but in a week or so, you don't even see where the cut was. Why? Your body is designed to heal itself. Okay? That's why in the early times, they lived 1,000 years. But we only live 70 because the disease and all of these things through the fall, all of that has come into play, and we don't live as longer, and we have many more difficult problems. Now, Mayo Clinic, one of the big, well-known hospital conglomerates, all that, says that many of the so-called physical problems are not physically caused, okay? Now, as you think about this, think about placebos. Everybody's heard of placebos. The survey of U.S. physicians shows that 45 to 60% of doctors admit they sometimes prescribe placebos. Why do they do that? Because if you come to me as a doctor and I can't find anything wrong with you, I will go ahead and, if I don't give you something, you're going to go to another doctor and pay for his Cadillac. Because he's going to do the same thing. He's going to give you a placebo. So I'll go ahead and tell you, this is going to help you. And it's nothing but a placebo. There's really nothing to it. There was a study, even placebo surgeries. The study by J.B. Mosley, New England Journal of Medicine, conducted a knee surgery study. There was 180 participants that were diagnosed with severe knee osteoarthritis. I believe it said half of them, there was an incision made just on the edge of the knee, and they sewed it right back up. Nothing was done, no operation, anything. They just cut a little stitch, stitched it back up. The other half, they did operations, and this is the results. All groups improved about the same in pain and function over 24 months. There was no significant difference between real surgery and the sham placebo surgery. The improvement was attributed to the placebo effect, rehabilitation, and natural course of the disease rather than the surgical procedure itself. It showed that for certain conditions, the perceived intervention, believing they had surgery, plus the physical therapy, just like the others, is just as effective as actual surgery. Dozens of conditions have symptoms or strongly influence the emotional status. Many of these things are nothing more than emotional. They're mental. They're not physically related. Okay? This is why the charismatic healers have such great success. They say, you're going to be healed. We're going to help you. Just like the doctor saying, take these. It's going to help you. And you think there was something wrong when the doctor can't find anything wrong. And that's why you don't see these charismatics healing physical, crippled things like this. It's always a stomach problem, a mental problem. It's the touch or the taste or something you can't see. And that's why they have great success. Oh, we've been healed. They can't prove it by a doctor. There's been people that have offered thousands of dollars to anybody said they could be proved that they could be that they were healed by a lot of these guys, and nobody's ever collected a dime. It's mental, okay? Now, medicine only fools the body into secreting substances or stopping bodily function. And let me say right here, I am not a doctor. I don't claim to be a doctor. I do have a doctor's degree, but it's not in medicine. Don't stop going to the doctors, okay? But you need to be aware of some of these things so you know why people are doing and acting the way they are. Medicine simply fools the body. The body's unaware of that problem that is there. And so the medicine fools the body in secreting whatever chemical is necessary to get your body functioning so it does that work, whatever's needed. Now, why am I saying all this? Because worry, guilt, and fear can destroy the body by causing it to secrete harmful substances into itself. That constant state of worry, fear, or guilt destroys the body. Now, I'm going to run through this real fast. How many of you have ever had somebody get around the corner and when you come around, they jumped out and went boo? And you like to wet your britches, didn't you? Scared you to death. I mean, your heart was racing and everything. But 30 seconds later, you're fine. Why? This is what Mayo Clinic, this is where I got most of this stuff. Adrenaline surge. When you perceive a threat, your adrenaline glands release adrenaline. That's why somebody that's a weakling can pick up a car. Their strength 25 times greater than many times than what they normally would be able to do. We've all heard of that. It's called adrenaline surge. When you perceive a threat, your adrenaline glands kick in, they release adrenaline, activates the fight or flight response. And heart rates increase, blood pressures, alertness, all of that. But there's something else. When they see that there's no problem there, there is a counteracting adrenaline. Since your brain reassesses the situation, recognizes that there's no danger there, your parasympathetic nervous system, the PNS, I like them things. I ask you doctors to help me with these pronunciations, but I'll slaughter them. Anyway, acetylcholine, whatever, released by the vagus nerve, slows the heart rate, relaxes the body, the gamma-aminobutyric acid, all of this stuff. It's an inhibitor, a neutral transmitter in the brain that calms the nervous system, the endorphinous serotonin and whatever. All of these things restore the sense of well-being and counteract stress. The cortisol regulation, while the cortisol is a stress hormone, its feedback loop also helps bringing adrenaline down after the acute stress passes. There's about four different things that counteract the adrenaline. Okay? Now, so what's the big deal? Adrenaline's like pushing a gas pedal. This acetylcholine or whatever and the parasympathetic systems act like the brakes, okay? The adrenaline's pumped in there, no problem, it hits the brakes. It counteracts that adrenaline. As soon as the threat is perceived to be gone, the brakes engage, your heart rate slows, your body returns to baseline. Parasympathetic nervous system counteracts the adrenaline's effects, calming your body back to normal once all clear is perceived. Problem. When we live in fear, anxiety, and worry, when no danger really exists, our bodies still continue to release those stress hormones. As if there was stress. And over time, this can do real damage. So what happens biologically? Well, these chemicals stay elevated because the brain perceives that there's no ongoing threat, but yet you're worried, you're frustrated, you're angry, you're all of these things. So it's trying to counteract what's not there. So all these things stay on while the brakes are not being really engaged, it's counteractive. So the effects, they say, is cardiovascular, the high blood pressure, faster heart rate, risk of heart disease, the immune system is suppressed, making infections easier, digestive system, your stomach's upset, ulcers, IBS-like symptoms, the mental health, the anxiety, depression, poor sleep, brain fog, hormonal imbalances, the cellular aging. All of these things are caused by these chemicals constantly being pumped into the system when there's no problem. Now, that's the body. Now let's go to the soul. The soul, through the soul, we can be Christ conscious. In other words, we can know about Christ. We can know about God. Why? Because the body or the soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. The mind, what we thought or what we know, what we're taught, it's the intellect that determines what we think. The will is what we think or what we want to do. What we think will determine how we feel. Our emotions, how are you feeling? Our state of mind determines how we are physically. And that's because of these chemicals and stuff being pumped into our bodies. Understand that you may be a Christian, and yet, when you get out of fellowship with God, you become carnal, the Bible calls us. In other words, you have forced yourself to live in the realm of the soul. You cannot live in the spirit. You are living in the realm of the soul. That's why Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another." Watch. "So that ye cannot do the things that you would." As a Christian, if we're right with God, we're living in the Spirit. But when we sin against God, we are forcing ourselves to live in the realm of the soul, controlled by our body, our mind, our will, and our emotions. So a lost man lives in the realm of the soul. Man is a sinner by nature. So the carnal man also lives in the realm of the soul. Now, you ever heard people say, well, they're acting like a bunch of animals. Why? Because that's an animal has a body and a soul. Has no spirit. He's not created in the image of God. Man is created in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit. And so we force ourselves to live as an animal in the realm of the body and the soul. So what happens when we're lost or we're carnal? Well, the results, it produces guilt. Whether it's guilt from being a sinner from Adam or from our own actions and things like this, it must be dealt with. Guilt must be dealt with. You cannot deal with guilt through the realm of the soul. You cannot do it. The body and soul are not designed to deal with guilt. So whether you're caught or whether you get away with something makes no difference. The guilt is still there, and the chemicals are being secreted into the body. Not only are you guilty, but now people become inferior. It's how I feel about myself. Most people don't like themselves. They put themselves down. They defigure themselves. They feel like they're not accepted. They turn to drink. They turn to sex. They turn to drugs. They turn to work. Everybody gets a trophy type thing. Why? We don't want them to feel inadequate. Well, wait a minute. If you feel inadequate, there's a problem, and it's spiritual. Then you have the insecurity. How do I feel around others? The fear of acceptance, the failure, of security, the position, the money, the love. I'm so insecure. Their attention, their time is spent where they feel secure. That's why some people don't stay around home. There's no security in their home. That's why the ladies would rather go out with ladies instead of be around their husbands. Why? They're not secure there. There's all kinds of, what do I have to do to be accepted? What do I have to do to be secure? And people in the you look in the world and they're fighting against themselves because they're wanting security, but they're not wanting security. They don't want it God's way. The inadequacy, they begin to feel inadequate. They feel their personal abilities aren't enough. I just can't do it. I've got to prove myself. And that drains the power, it drains resources, it drains your strength. I just can't cope, I can't handle the situation. So they end up with fear and worry and doubt. And all this time, these chemicals are being secreted into the body. All of these come from an unwillingness to obey, to trust, or to yield to the Lord. So, subconsciously, not only do we have worry, fear, and doubt, but subconsciously we cover up or we have an escape mechanism. Many of these things are manifest by an extreme in order to cover up something. Some people come on strong, some are loud, pushy. Some people just try their best to be cool when they're not. Or they're just flipping about everything. Everything's a joke. Some people get mean. Some people get hateful. They go to that extreme. Why? To be accepted. They're trying to cover up their inadequacies, insecurities, and all of this by going to an extreme. Some people totally withdraw. They won't come out of their bedroom. They won't leave their house. All of these things are involved in here. They isolate themselves. So when guilt is kept inside, this conflict begins to build either in the mind or the emotions of the person. The only way to get rid of these is through God in the Spirit. It's the only way that God has designed for man to get rid of these things. If a man will not go to God, he will usually try to escape from the problem by playing these mind games. Now, what kind of mind games? Well, we're talking about fantasy. Thinking about something else, we'll put ourselves in another. Wouldn't it be nice if we were, and boy, we will think our way into something. We'll spend money, we'll do whatever to get ourselves into that position or to get that object or do that thing because we're living in a fantasy world. People live in that other world, some in rebellion, because they're not secure, because they're inadequate, because they're filled with guilt, they withdraw into rebellion. They get involved in perversion. They get into that dark world. You ever notice when teenagers, when they start getting away from mom and dad, what happens? They start getting dark. They start isolating themselves and they start getting angry and all of this. It's a mind game here. That fantasy, the chat rooms, the online, the gaming, how much time you spend on that stuff? We are addicted to this stuff. Why? Why can we say things on Facebook and other things that we normally would never say to somebody? We're living in a fantasy world. We have adopted the philosophy of the world. The positive thinking, you go to the doctor and they'll say, oh, you know, you just need to, positive thinking, you need it. That only goes so far. And then the positive thinking ends. Schizophrenia. You find people that one day they're great, the next day that they're horrible. It's that Jekyll and Hyde type thing. One day they're there, one day they're not there. One day they're in, one day they're out. One day they're a tyrant, the next day they're a kitten. Why? Because they're living in these fantasy worlds. They're schizophrenic. They're all of this stuff is messing up their minds. They become paranoid. Begin to think everybody's against them. Nobody can do it right. Everything's wrong. They're paranoid. They think everybody's against them. They live in fear. They live in a wrong thinking world. They're not rational. When you break down their arguments and stuff, there's nothing to them. They're irrational. They're paranoid. And that leads to obsessive thoughts. They can't think about anything else. This is the reason for morbid and bizarre behavior and sexual behavior and bizarre actions, going into schools and shooting. But no reason. They're so obsessed. That's what people now, they're so obsessed with Trump. It doesn't make any difference what's good for America. People are so obsessed with their own life that if somebody is a Christian, they're going to be against them and they're going to fight against them, and the only thing you can do is go into church and shoot them up. They're obsessed with these thoughts because there's no way they can take care of them. They can go to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and all these people, and they cannot take care of it because it is only... There is only one way to take care of all this guilt and frustration and everything, and that's God's way. God did not design the body or the soul to take care of these things. Now, it affects the emotions, the depression. Remember, he says his countenance has fallen. Talking about Cain. What happened? He became angry. That darkness came so much that he would kill his own brother. Bitterness. An obsession. David, with Saul trying to kill David, he was so obsessed. Over and over, he was going to kill David, Jacob, and Esau. Cain and Abel, you see it all the way through the Bible. They become so obsessed. And this bitterness. And you see it in churches all over. People are consumed with bitterness. They haven't spoke to their parents. They haven't spoke to their children. They haven't spoke to their grandma or grandpa or uncle or aunt for years. Why? Bitterness. And all that time these chemicals are being secreted, you're saying there's a problem, and God says, no, there's not a problem. And you're killing yourself. And God says, we have to overcome that, and there's only one way. Anger, anxiety, worry, wrath, all of these things, the chemicals are constantly being secreted into our body when there is no problem, but we're killing ourselves. It's affecting us emotionally. It's affecting us physically. And they'll try to tell you it's a physical problem or it's an emotional problem. No, it is a spiritual problem. It is a spiritual problem. Now, a carnal believer refusing to trust God is still saved. But they're slowly destroying themselves, physically, mentally, and spiritually. God convicts us of our sin. We can believe God and His Word and repent and accept the forgiveness and put Christ back on the throne, or we will force ourselves to live in the realm of the soul like an animal. And what we learn, whether it's from good people or bad people, that's where we'll go. What our desires are, man, our desires are opposite of what God's is. And what our emotions, what we feel, it's going to be totally contrary to spiritual things. And that's why you see people, when they get out of fellowship with God, they are so miserable. It affects them mentally, spiritually, and physically. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Can't get that in the soul. It can only come through the Spirit. Watch this, Proverbs 3:8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. God says it'll affect. It'll affect our physical. He said, Proverbs 4:22, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. You want to have a healthy life? You have to do things God's way. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you, 1 Peter 5:7. God says there's a way to do all of this. It has to be done through the Spirit. It's the only way. The Spirit allows us to be God conscious. We can only really know God through the Spirit. As we hear the Word of God and we respond properly to the Word of God, we agree with God that we are guilty, that this is sin in my life. I am not trusting You. I am not following You. You're the only sovereign God that can have mercy and grace on me, that can overcome this situation and forgive my sin. When we accept God's way and come to God, He forgives us and we're made right with God. Only through the Spirit. When a man is saved, the Spirit is made alive again. That's why he says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, and you hath He quickened, that means made alive, who were what? Dead. The Spirit was dead. You were living in the body and soul. But when the Spirit is made alive, when salvation occurs, now, He says, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing of asunder of what? Soul and spirit. That's the only way. You cannot get things done through the soul. It has to be done through the Spirit. And only God and His Word can discern that fine line. And so instead of listening to a grandma or listening to Uncle Bruce or going to the football game and getting some good advice, no, we need to go to God and stay in God's Word, because that's where He discerns between these things that will give us this peace. He wants sanctification. God wants believers to be different. Distinction in God's people lets others see Christ in us. If we can't know God through the soul, then how do we get to know Him? Well, first in salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What does the flesh say? Do this. Do that. What does most religions say? Do this. Do that. What does the Bible say? For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. All these phony religions are saying works, 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 works. You get baptized, you take communion, you do this or that. No. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. And it starts there. To come from the soul or the soul into the spirit, you have to do it by faith. Or you will never, never be saved. Salvation. We could go through there many verses, just realizing our lost condition and our guilt and turning to Jesus Christ for our salvation. So the basis of our salvation is the promise of God's word, what He did. Then we come into assurance. As we're saved now, the assurance, Romans 8:1, there's now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What are we doing? Once we're saved, we can have the assurance that God has forgiven us our sins. He will not condemn us. He has accepted us. For carnal Christians, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's the basis of our assurance? The promise of the Word of God. What He did. Eternal life is through Him. We get to that point of acceptance. Acceptance by God, not by other people. Acceptance by God. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us acceptable in His sight. I don't have to prove myself to anybody. I don't have to please you. I don't have to please a preacher. I don't have to please the governor. I don't have to please Trump. All I have to please is Jesus Christ, and He's accepted me. My inadequacies are gone. My inferiority is gone. Why? Because I'm accepted already by Jesus Christ, by God Himself. So I don't have to prove myself to anyone. I can just be what God wanted me to be. God makes no mistakes. We think defects, physical defects or something like that is a mistake. God does not make mistakes. He's never made a mistake. That's why we've got to accept what God made. Look around you. Now, I didn't marry some of you women, thank God. And you're probably saying the same thing. I wanted her. That's one God had for me. All of y'all are different. All we have to do is look in the mirror. We have different heights. We have different weights. We have different looks. We have different noses. We have different ears. Everything. Well, which one is right? Can you tell me who was it that said beautiful is beautiful and ugly is ugly? Who determines that? God does. Listen to what He says in John 9:1. And Jesus, as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, say, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, and that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He was perfect. Though many today would say he was imperfect. God don't make mistakes. He has a purpose. He has a reason for everything. No one is a second-class citizen. Everyone should be equal. Let God be manifest in you. What's the basis for acceptance? It's the promise of God's word. It's what he did. It's what he made. And then we come to security. God's attitude towards me. What's God's attitude towards me? For God so loved the world. That's God's attitude for me. Can I be secure in that? Oh, you bet. Problems are not a lack to attack us. It's not God trying to disturb us or cause us problems. It's there to mold and conform us. That's why in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. He works with individuals, every one of us. He loves us. He conforms us in whatever area that we're needing. That's why I can't tell you guys, you need to do this. I can't tell you, you need to do this or you need to do that. Why? Because God is dealing with us as individuals. He may be dealing with Moses here about smoking. I wish you'd cut that out, Moses. But yet Chuck's been drinking. He's not going to deal with him about smoking. So he shouldn't tell him how he shouldn't be smoking. You see, God deals with, and neither one of them are, by the way, I hope. But God deals with us individually, and he conforms us individually to his image. You take sugar or eggs or vanilla, just cream by itself, yuck. But you conform it together, you put that all together, and you got ice cream. Amen? God loves me even when I sin. Bible says, even when we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there's a lot more we could go through here. The basis of security is the promise of God's word. What he does, he's omnipotent. And then total commitment. When we come to this point, when we yield ourselves fully to Christ, we simply give ourselves to him. My will is to do his will. It's an act of the will. That's why in Romans 12:1-2, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. He calls it reasonable service. He calls it the perfect will of God. He says, just give me yourself. That total commitment. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. I just come to that point and I'm placing myself in his hands. For the body to be right, the soul must be right, and the spirit must be right. Christ must be the center of our lives, and we must be filled with the Spirit. Jesus must be the priority and the focus of our life. In mind, the attitude of Christ. In strength, the capability of Christ. In needs, said, "All I'll provide all your needs." The peace, he said, it comes through Christ in Philippians. The fullness of joy, it comes through Christ. The health and the countenance, it all comes through him. When we sin, we force ourselves to live in the realm of the soul or like an animal. And that's why man is doing what he's doing. And that's why there's so much mental problems. You hear that on every news broadcast now. We've got a mental problem here. We do. But you can't solve it through a psychiatrist. You can only solve it through the Spirit. As a believer, when we get out of fellowship and force ourselves to walk in the flesh, the only way is to agree with God and come back and say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm guilty. It's sin. Would you please forgive me? And restore, not the salvation, that's never been in jeopardy, but the assurance and acceptance and security. Next week, most of you won't be here, but we're going to go ahead and continue with our little fat man and talking about the fullness of the Spirit and how these things will counteract each one of them and what God will do. And I think it'll be a blessing. Father, have your way in the rest of the service. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.